friends, do not allow your children to babysit. You never know what might happen.
It was a friendly babysitting arrangement between neighbors.
I love kids. I've always watched kids and loved being around kids.
Chris was as reliable as they come.
I was a student. I don't think I've ever lost my temper in my life. I'm a very mellow guy.
And the Woodruffs couldn't have been happier.
He seemed like a responsible kid to me, and I liked him.
But that would all change one afternoon.
911. My 2-year-old's not breathing.
When little Emily became desperately ill.
Okay. I'm babysitting for her. She's not breathing.
Emily quit breathing.
Chris says he tried to save her.
Do you want to attempt CPR?
Yes.
Okay.
My child had done something very heroic.
Harold Dow on why the police just didn't see it that way.
This case has never been a close call in my mind.
Now this high school honor student is charged with murder.
Any adolescent is capable of shaking a child hard enough to kill him.
48 Hours investigates.
Did you have anything to do with Emily's death?
I would never, ever have any thoughts about hurting Emily.
The Babysitter.
Welcome to 48 Hours Investigates. I'm Leslie Stahl. At one time or another, every parent has to leave the kids with a babysitter. You close the door behind you and hope you've made the right choice. In this case, the arrangement between two families, the Woodruffs and the Ruths, seemed to be working fine for everybody until the tragic events that would leave a toddler dead and a teenage babysitter accused. Harold Dow reports on a nightmare shared by two families. Both say they're seeking justice. It's hard to believe it all happened between friends.
Sixteen-year-old Chris Ruth is the kind of kid you'd like to have living next door.
I don't mean like toot my own horn or anything, but I was a good kid. I was an A student, you know.
No.
I ain't never broken any laws or anything, never gotten any trouble at school. I don't think I've ever lost my temper in my life. I'm a very calm-mannered, very mellow guy.
Now, this mild-mannered teenager is about to find out if he will spend the rest of his life living in prison.
I think this was a series of tragedies that fell one upon another. And I think that Christopher happens to be the person who was caught in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Chris stands accused of sexually assaulting 23-month-old Emily Woodruff and then shaking the toddler to death.
It doesn't get any worse than that, does it?
No.
No.
Not at all.
For Sissy and Charlie Ruth, Chris's parents, the fate of their son rests in the hands of 12 strangers in a jury box.
And I try to be as realistic as I can that they may not see it our way, but I'll fight forever to prove that he's innocent.
And it all has to do with what seemed at the time to be a perfectly safe agreement between two families, a babysitting arrangement.
I just shudder when any of my friends talk about their children babysitting, because we know what can happen. It can take away your whole life.
Lawrenceville, Georgia. A picture-perfect small suburban town, about 40 minutes outside of Atlanta.
Step straight. There we go. Now, you remember, Cameron, you look over here and smile at me, okay?
And it's the perfect place to raise a family.
Cameron. Good. One more time.
Charlie is a professional photographer.
Archie.
Daughter Emily plays soccer on Saturdays.
Go in, go in! Oh, yeah, oh, yeah! Yes!
And there's football for Chris.
Chris, you hope to have a championship trophy up in this case one of these days?
Definitely. State championships. Here we come.
Football, huh?
Oh, yes, sir.
Right off the town square, Sissy runs a kids' clothing store.
Do you like this one?
I think so.
All right, let's go see.
One day in the spring of 2000, a mother of two walked into Sissy's store. Her name was Kim Woodruff.
She's a very friendly, outgoing lady.
I was on the square in Lawrenceville shopping.
She noticed my help wanted sign, and we talked about it, and
she hired me.
So she started working part-time and ended up being a full-time employee.
Did you become good friends?
Oh, yeah. It's almost like a family business, and she was a part of the family.
Kim and her husband, Lewis, were raising two toddlers, 3-year-old Hunter and almost 2-year-old Emily.
She was beautiful.
And Hunter was a miracle boy.
All kids are a joy, but especially for the Woodruffs. They'd been through years of fertility problems.
We had tried for 8 years, and he was a miracle to us because we'd waited so long. 3 months later, we found out she's pregnant again after he was born. It was like, wow, this is such a great gift.
Lewis is a traveling salesman.
Is Todd in? Would you tell him Lewis called?
They bought this company about 4 years ago. It's out of Italy.
He sells paint spray guns.
It's sweet. There's nothing else like it on the market.
You like that? Oh, he's going now.
Like many working families, the Woodruffs had daycare issues. Lewis was on the road a lot, and by the summer of 2001, Kim was working full-time here at Sissy Ruth's store. So the Woodruffs needed a babysitter, someone they could trust, someone like Chris Ruth.
Christopher was at the store helping me with different things, and she's asked me if I thought it would be okay if she asked him if he wanted to babysit.
And he seemed like a responsible kid to me, and I liked him. I liked both of her children.
I thought it was fine, but I told her, said, you're going to have to ask him. Mm-hmm. And when she did, he said, well, that'd be pretty neat.
And so Chris began to babysit for the Woodruffs on a regular basis, taking care of Hunter and Emily at the Woodruffs' house.
I love kids. I've always watched kids and loved being around kids.
I'd watched him interact with them, and they seemed to like him.
Everyone was very happy with the way it was working.
I was tickled pink that we were teaching him some work ethic.
But we were also sure of his ability to take care of children.
And then on July 25th, 2001, something terrible happened to Emily Woodruff.
911. My 2-year-old's not breathing.
Okay.
I'm babysitting for her. She's not breathing.
Emily quit breathing.
When did you realize that Christopher was in some very, very serious trouble?
We found out about it at
on the 11 o'clock news.
Showed his picture, said the police were looking for Christopher Scott Ruth. He's being charged with murder and child molestation.
Twenty-three-month-old Emily Woodruff seemed perfectly fine when her mother, Kim, left for work on the morning of July 25th, 2001.
I gave her apple juice, and I sat her on the couch. I told her I loved her, gave her a hug and kiss, and left.
But Emily's teenage babysitter, Chris Ruth, says the toddler was obviously sick.
She was crying, and she looked very tired.
What happened next was a nightmare for the families of both children. Emily, who had battled a stomach virus just a few days earlier, began to throw up again. And Chris, left alone with the sick toddler and her 3-year-old brother, was soon overwhelmed.
So I called the house at 12 o'clock, and Christopher answered. He said, Emily got sick.
And I said, well, then I'm coming home. And he said, well, no, don't do that. She's asleep.
I didn't want to let her down, and I thought I could handle it.
When Emily woke up, Chris tried to feed her.
I gave Emily a cracker, and she started acting very tired. Like, you know, that's when I heard the kind of weird coughing, gurgling noise. She wasn't breathing.
What did you do?
You know, after I patted on her back and nothing happened, I just said, oh, hold on. And I picked her up and put her in the middle of the floor and immediately, you know, called 911.
My 2-year-old's not breathing.
Okay.
I'm babysitting for her. She's not breathing.
Do you want to attempt CPR?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. Okay, listen carefully. Pinch the nose closed and completely cover her mouth with your mouth.
I kind of went into a autopilot.
You must continue giving her mouth to mouth. You want to give one breath every 3 seconds.
And I did that for what seemed like forever until the paramedics got there.
Her respirations had gotten down to approximately 2 a minute.
Paramedic Pennell Ellis reached Emily first.
We knew we needed to secure her airway and breathe for her.
Christopher called me in a panic, and he said, "Go get Miss Kim. Emily stopped breathing. I had to call 911.
Charlie Ruth raced from his photography studio to his wife's clothing store.
And we hear Charlie banging on the back door. "Get Kim, put her in your car, and go to her house."
It scared us.
I was in a total panic. Oh my gosh. I don't even remember that trip except for thinking, I've got to get there, I've got to get there.
So you arrive home. What's the first thing you see?
Paramedics and fire trucks in my driveway.
Okay.
My door standing wide open.
Your feelings?
I jump out of my car, run in my house.
What are you thinking?
Worried. Christopher is white as a sheet, sitting in a chair in our dining room.
And Christopher was sitting in a chair talking to a paramedic.
So I look at the paramedic, and the paramedic said, "Your babysitter did everything he's supposed to do."
Somebody told me that, you know, he had done CPR on her and really tried to save her.
Christopher just sat in the chair with his head in his hands.
I look over at Christopher, and Christopher immediately said, "I'm sorry, Miss Kim." And I said, "For what?" "You saved my little girl's life." And he said, "I'm just sorry."
Honestly, I couldn't think of anything else to say. I did not know what to say to her.
What do you think he was telling you?
He's sorry. I think that things got carried away and that, you know, that she got hurt.
Emily was in trouble.
Oh yeah, she was in serious trouble. When we got en route to the hospital, we noticed that her heart rate went down.
When Emily arrived at the hospital, her condition was desperate.
They removed the diaper. It appeared that something was wrong.
What Pennell Ellis saw was possible evidence of sexual assault.
She was violated.
And it was discovered Emily had a brain injury.
The neurologist told me that the swelling in her brain was equivalent of falling out of a 4-story building or being in a car accident without a seatbelt and hitting a tree going 45 miles an hour.
And the thing that really concerns us is that her vagina's torn and her hymen's been pierced.
The police were alerted. Their suspicion? Emily had been sexually assaulted and then shaken to death. They immediately began to question Kim and Lewis Woodruff.
"You're the mother, he's the father, and I need to shoot straight with you, okay? One of two people injured your little girl's vagina. It was either your husband or it was Chris. And one of the two shook the baby within the last 24 hours.
It's hard for me to comprehend that anybody could hurt another human being, especially a baby.
Has there ever been any inappropriate acts between you and your daughter?
God knows. No. No.
Immediately you could just go, Christopher.
The Roofs refused to allow the police to talk to Chris.
They wanted to put him in a room and play that good cop, bad cop thing with him.
Without an attorney, without anybody friendly to him.
I'm not stupid.
I didn't understand that. I thought, first of all, if you're innocent, why do you have to have an attorney present?
Then, just 2 days later, July 27th, Emily Woodruff was pronounced dead.
I had gone into the room to stand there beside her on the bed. I came back out and I told Kim, I said, "Kim, man, she's gone. She's gone. I just saw her eyes, but she's not there."
She had all of the findings that are consistent with a child that has been shaken.
Gwinnett County Medical Examiner Steve Dunton performed the autopsy.
So you're saying that Emily Woodruff died from shaken baby syndrome?
Yes.
How hard do you have to shake a child in order to cause death?
Well, the child would have to be shaken so hard that the child's head is snapping back and forth, and particularly if there's a rotation involved. At some point, the child's going to be unable to control its head movement, and that's when the damage happens.
How old, how strong do you have to be in order to cause this kind of damage? At the time, Chris Ruth was only 14 years old.
Any adolescent is capable of shaking a child hard enough to kill him.
These are mostly autopsy pictures and slides from blood work, and these describe some of the injuries.
Danny Porter, the district attorney for Gwinnett County, had heard enough.
I mean, you've got a medical examiner telling you it's shaken, baby. You've got an EMT who said that he saw gaping vaginal wounds. And you've got a defendant who won't talk to you, who's the only one who was with the child at the time of its injuries.
It wasn't a close call in your mind?
This case has never been a close call in my mind.
Just 1 week after Emily died, Chris Ruth was arrested. And even though he had yet to enter the ninth grade, 14-year-old Chris was charged as an adult.
I just couldn't believe he would do that. I just trusted him. I just didn't think that he would hurt my children.
But Chris's parents believed their son was being victimized by a rush to judgment.
It's almost like that nobody is searching for the truth in this whole story.
Could this 14-year-old honor student, a boy who says he loves children, really be guilty of such an unspeakable crime?
I'm supposed to be in high school. I'm supposed to be getting my driver's license. I didn't do anything. I'm not supposed to be here. I was away from my family. I'm in an orange jumpsuit in a concrete room. I mean, I shouldn't be here.
For 361 days.
4 days short of a year.
This cell was Chris Ruth's home.
I'm supposed to be in high school, but I'm sitting in here. I got to see my parents 2 times a week for 2 hours.
A week after Emily Woodruff died, Chris had been arrested for sexually assaulting and then killing her. Denied bail, Chris was sent here. He had just turned 15.
He was treated like a yard dog criminal.
And for good reason, says Gwinnett County DA Danny Porter.
The likelihood of Ruth coming into contact with other children presented a danger to the community, and that was the basis of our position.
Kim Woodruff reluctantly began to agree that the boy she trusted to babysit her daughter had actually killed her.
I had a hard time with it. I had a hard time thinking that someone I thought I knew so well could do something so bad.
The Woodruffs couldn't ignore what the evidence suggested. Their daughter Emily died from acute head trauma, and there were signs of a possible sexual assault. Then they remembered a conversation they had with Chris a week before Emily's death.
He said, "Miss Kim, there's some bruises on Emily's face. Where did that come from?" And I said, "I don't know anything about that."
It was a conversation they wished they had paid more attention to.
You look back and you just go,
why
didn't I just say never again?
Hindsight.
Two bruises could be seen, one on each of her temples.
I mean, I just didn't think anything about it, especially because Christopher brought it to my attention. I never thought it would be something he would do.
That same week, Emily had been throwing up a lot, and she had a persistent fever. So Lewis took Emily to a hospital emergency room, where the doctor determined that Emily had a stomach virus. But the doctor also noticed the bruises, and he thought they might be evidence of child abuse.
He goes, "She's got a stomach virus, but those are finger marks. These bruises are finger marks."
The doctor said it was from a hand. I knew I didn't do it, and I knew Lewis didn't do it.
As required by law, the doctor reported what he saw to the Georgia Child Protection Agency. But the agency failed to investigate, and Emily's case fell through the cracks.
We tried to contact them. They didn't answer the phone.
The Woodruffs convinced themselves the doctor had simply overreacted.
Monday night, I get a telephone call from Christopher, and he said, "Miss Kim, do you need me to babysit the children tomorrow?" I said, "Well, let's give her one more day. She's much, much better. She hasn't been sick in a couple days."
And so, 2 days later, the day Emily stopped breathing, Chris was once again babysitting for the Woodruffs.
Knowing what you knew, how did it come to be that Chris would babysit again?
I didn't think he did it. I never dreamed it was him, or I wouldn't have had him there. No.
Blaming Christopher allows her the luxury of not taking responsibility for what happened to Emily.
Sissy and Charlie Ruth are absolutely sure their son is innocent.
This is a child who won't let you kill bugs. He can't even stand for the dogs to be disciplined. I mean, I know I'm his mom and I can sit here and I can tell you this. I've never seen him blow his cool.
And they believe police jumped to the conclusion that Chris was guilty.
I'm asking these questions directly because we're both adults here.
Right.
We know what we're dealing
right.
with. How do you feel knowing that he did that to your daughter?
Oh, he needs to get what he deserves.
I don't suspect you.
No.
I really do suspect Christopher. He was the last one seen with her. He's the one that got thrown up on.
Just hours after Emily was rushed to the hospital, the police were already targeting Chris.
I have never been more insulted by a police officer in my life is what I saw in that videotape.
Chris is the only person that could have.
I just can't believe anybody would do that to her.
What do you think about this Christopher sticking his finger between her legs and then killing your little girl?
Looking back on him after knowing that this happened to your little girl, do you see anything emerging?
He never considered another option. Either the parents did it or the 14-year-old babysitter did it. He never once looked at the third option, and that was that God called her home.
Sissy and Charlie Ruth believe what happened to Emily had nothing to do with Chris, that Emily was very, very sick, much sicker than just a simple stomach bug.
And had we had any concept of how sick Emily was, guaranteed Christopher would never have been there. Yeah. She's just not feeling very well. Well, that isn't what was going on. She was vomiting day after day after day, unchecked.
The idea that Emily was extremely ill, fatally ill, that her death had nothing at all to do with being shaken, would become the cornerstone of Chris's defense.
Just try to envision him blowing his cool because she threw up on him or because she was crying or because she was whining. It just wouldn't happen.
After spending nearly a year in detention, Chris is allowed to go home to prepare for trial. He's placed under house arrest and has to wear an ankle monitor.
It sounded crazy to me, you know, that they would make some allegations like that something had happened to Emily, because I knew, I was with her, I knew nothing happened to her.
For the record, because I have to ask this question. Did you have anything to do with Emily's death?
Not in the least. I would never, ever have any thoughts about hurting Emily, ever.
Is it possible at one point you could have lost your temper and shook her?
Never.
Chris's future hangs in the balance. Will it be freedom or life in prison?
When that case was not properly diagnosed on Thursday, July the 19th, the nightmares for two families started.
Is it possible that Chris Ruth, a young man so well-liked and who seems so reliable, could be guilty of murdering a toddler? Absolutely, if you ask the parents of Emily Woodruff. They're convinced that Chris, their babysitter, lost his cool and caused their daughter's fatal injuries. Prosecutors say the medical evidence is a lock. But to hear Chris's parents tell it, their son, who could be facing life in prison, is a victim of a rush to judgment. His defense team has a radically different explanation of what happened to Emily. But as dramatic as their theory is, even more startling is the identity of the witness they're counting on to make their case. Here again is Harold Dow.
We have to win at all cost. And the cost to us will be our son's life.
Prosecutors accused Christopher Ruth of the most heinous of crimes.
16-year-old Christopher Ruth is charged with sexually assaulting and killing 2-year-old Emily Woodruff.
For a year and a half, the Ruth family has prepared for trial and tried to prepare for the worst.
In this case, the jurors will have to decide whether there was a murder at all.
We could go in there tomorrow and he could be found guilty and they will take him right out of the courtroom and we will never be able to touch him again.
It's an accusation of the day. It's like, oh, something happened to that child. It must be shaken baby syndrome. It turned into a witch hunt.
You start flat on your back in these kinds of cases.
Doug Peters is Chris's lead attorney. He knows that to keep Chris out of prison, he's going to have to take some big chances.
This is an all or nothing case here. We have not requested any type of manslaughter or anything like that. He either is guilty of murder or nothing.
For Chris Ruth, now 16 years old, the stakes couldn't be higher.
Are we ready?
Yeah. Not everybody is a child molester. Not everybody is a baby killer.
All right, come over, please.
Chris Ruth is finally ready to have his day in court.
Bring our jury in, please.
The prosecution is up first.
Call your witness.
And its key witness wastes no time telling the jury what he thinks happened to little Emily Woodruff.
I felt that she died of a traumatic brain injury.
Gwinnett County Medical Examiner Dr. Steve Dunton, who showed us how he believes Emily died, says it was no accident.
Were you also able to form an opinion as to the manner of her death?
Yes.
And what was that?
Homicide.
For 4 days, the jury hears from doctors, nurses, and paramedics who treated Emily, and they all agree that she was first sexually assaulted.
Her vaginal opening was extremely big.
And then she was shaken to death.
I found evidence of extensive swelling of the brain.
A force that caused the brain to move forward and backwards.
And that kills the baby.
Then Emily's mother, Kim, takes the stand.
I fully trusted Christopher. And more than that, I fully trusted his mother in recommending Christopher. I just never dreamed that anything would happen.
There's something not right with him. He's a sick boy, and he needs some help.
With medical experts and Emily's mother making the prosecution's case, the defense needs to counterattack and decides to make a high-risk move.
Raise your right hand.
Calling Chris Ruth to the stand.
Did you cause the death of Emily Woodruff?
No, ma'am, I did not.
I was very surprised that they put him on the stand because he had been closed mouthed the whole time.
For the very first time, Chris tells his side of the story.
She was very, very sick looking, very unhappy. She didn't look at all normal like she should be.
And he relives that fateful day when Emily stopped breathing.
I just saw her laying there and she wasn't breathing. I picked her up under her arms. I picked her up and sat her up and her head just went limp. And I said, Emily, and she.
It's emotional testimony. But what about the evidence of sexual assault?
I had seen her scratch between her legs before, but she was scratching really hard that day.
Emily, in fact, had eczema. And it was possible, the defense says, she scratched herself hard enough to bleed and make it look like a case of sexual assault.
There was not a tear anywhere in the vagina or the vaginal area of this child, according to
Dr. Dunton's report and the other report, only one doctor used the word tear.
Defense witness Dr. Joseph Burton backs up Chris's claim.
There is no definitive diagnostic evidence that would allow one to conclude that Emily had been sexually molested, digitally penetrated, or otherwise.
Now, the defense must answer the most basic question. How did Emily die? Chris's lawyers have a surprising theory. They say Emily was killed by a rare brain virus. But even more surprising than their theory is who they get to explain it.
I'm being paid by the state of Georgia to render my honest opinions.
Contrary to the state of Georgia.
Which, if that's the way it is, it's the way it is.
Dr. Chris Sperry is the chief medical examiner for the state of Georgia. The defense asked him to look at Emily's medical records, and he agreed to testify for Chris.
Shaking is extremely rare as a cause of severe brain injury or death in children older than 6 months.
Because he works for the state, Dr. Sperry's testimony presents a huge problem for the prosecution. So when he tells the jury what he thinks happened to Emily,
this is, in my opinion, a natural disease process.
The testimony has the ring of truth.
I find it very unusual that if this child was shaken, that there was no evidence of any bruising on the chest wall or even any broken ribs. Emily Woodruff died as a consequence of irreversible brain damage. She did not die as a consequence of any abusive or inflicted injuries.
Defense attorney Phyllis Miller hopes Sperry's willingness to risk his professional reputation will convince the jury that Emily died of natural causes.
Thank God Dr. Sperry believed that telling the truth was more important than what he might have at stake.
The testimony has the Ruths feeling confident.
I heard it's going very good.
Yeah, it is. It is.
When I do get that sense of, oh man, yeah, we're going to win this thing, I try to remember my daughter saying to me, Mama, don't get cocky.
Your job is now going to begin.
In closing arguments, both lawyers have a last chance to convince the jury.
Christopher Ruth killed Emily. This is Emily on July 15th. Does that look like a sick little girl?
This is not about Emily being sexually molested. It is not about Emily being shaken or slammed or hurt in any way. This is about Emily tragically passing away from a natural disease process.
After a two-week trial, the jury begins its deliberation.
Now, the jury got this case just a few seconds ago. As soon as this jury reaches a verdict, we will bring that verdict to you.
But before the jury reaches a verdict, it asks a stunning question.
The question reads as follows. Is it possible for us to convict on count one and not count two, or do they go together?
The jury seems ready to convict Chris Ruth on the most serious charge, count one. Murder.
My God, they could convict Christopher in this case, then it would be so wrong.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to receive the verdict in this case.
Please, please let them find the wisdom to get past whatever it is that's hanging them up. Please, let them find wisdom and truth.
He knows he didn't do anything wrong. He did everything he possibly knew how to save this little girl's life.
Of course, the thoughts pop into your mind, you know, what if? What if the worst happens?
Although he was just 14 years old at the time of his arrest, Chris Ruth has been tried as an adult and faces all the adult consequences.
I think that has really been something that has just absolutely tore my heart out. I mean, we're talking about a 14-year-old kid here.
Before he took her life, he took her innocence. That should outrage you folks.
His parents have heard some harsh words against their son in the nearly two-week trial. but they've never had any doubts that he had anything to do with the tragic death of 23-month-old Emily Woodruff.
Never.
None whatsoever. You would expect that out of Sissy and I to make that comment, but I can give you a list of about 500 or 600 names that would tell you the exact same thing.
The opinions of 12 jurors are all that matters now.
I'm informed that the jury has reached a verdict. Is that correct?
The jury has deliberated just 8 hours to decide whether Chris goes to prison or if he goes free.
As to count one, we the jury find the defendant not guilty of felony murder. As to count two, we the jury find the defendant not guilty of cruelty to children. As to count three, we the jury find the defendant not guilty of aggravated child molestation. And as to count four, we the jury find the defendant not guilty of aggravated sexual battery. Ladies and gentlemen, please calm down.
For the Ruth family, it was a welcome verdict and an expensive one. Chris's defense has cost them nearly $400,000. But at this moment, freedom is priceless.
How do you feel?
I don't know. It felt like, you know, 1,000,000 pounds had just been pushed off of me. I could just feel all that stress and all that pressure just, shoom, it went right out. I'm just glad it's over. I'm just glad it's over.
Looking at the evidence, you came back with not guilty on all four counts. What convinced you that Chris Ruth was innocent?
We felt like the prosecution really didn't present their case very well.
Was this a difficult decision for the jury to come to?
It was very difficult.
Anything you'd like to say to the Woodruff family?
I'm just sorry for what they had to go through. And that...
We're very concerned about her family. And no matter what verdict we gave, the little baby was not coming back.
Exactly.
It was not a verdict the Woodruffs were prepared to hear.
I was stunned.
Disappointment.
Just, it totally blew me away.
They've lost their daughter.
She's still gone, that's the main thing. You know, she's gone. I believe what I believe about what happened.
What do you think happened to Emily?
I don't want to answer that. I don't want to answer that. I don't want to get myself in trouble with that.
Do you think Emily would be alive today had you not asked Chris to babysit for you?
Yes.
I pity that they can't accept the truth, that they think that it was some horrible, abusive ending, and it wasn't. She was sick.
We rejoice with Chris. We thank you for upholding him and for him upholding us. Now bless us all and nourish us in your fellowship through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Ruths are thankful that Chris is finally free of the burden and suspicion he's been under for nearly 2 years. But they know he has a lot of catching up to do.
That's what we're going to help him do. We've got to gain back the things that were lost. You can't replace the homecoming dances and those things, but you can come back to goals and dreams.
So how will Chris start putting his life back together? Don't go away.
Years ago, Chris Ruth was a normal kid living a normal life. Now he's trying to piece that life back together.
All right, pull it up.
The first step is to remove the ankle monitor he's worn for the last 4 months.
Ah, there it goes. There it goes. Yes! All right.
Then, it's driving lessons with Mom.
Slow down.
I've never driven more than 10 feet before, so I'm about ready to go get to it.
Wait a minute. Let me swing all the way out.
I know it, Mama. Like
there you go. That's better.
Okay.
Finally, the biggest step of all, high school.
Chris, I suppose it might be a little hard getting back for the first few days, but I think I adjust pretty good.
His mom can stop worrying about his defense and concentrate on something a little more normal, like biology.
So you didn't bring the biology book?
Through the whole thing, I was more worried about my mom than I was myself, because I knew I was gonna get through it and I knew I was gonna be able to deal with it, but I wasn't sure about her.
All right, I'm not gonna kiss you when we get up there. Oh, are you gonna kiss me? Because that's fine with me. I love you. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
I'm proud of you. Love you. I think the legal part's over, but he'll carry it with him for all of his life, always.
Chris Ruth went on to law school and now is a defense attorney.